This chapter is chapter 11 in the book of Leviticus. It concerns the dietary law that the Lord gave to Israel to bring us up to date. Moses, what we call, performed a week-long consecration service for the priesthood. And the day following, the priests, Aaron and his four sons at the time, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, began their ministry. But before the day is completed, perhaps even as it began, when the first incense of the morning was burnt, it may have been then, it may have been that early, I suspect it was, that Nadab and Abihu decided to presume upon the Lord and offer strange fire and died as a result. To compound this tragedy, as the remaining sons continued offering up the sacrifices of Israel, Aaron directed them to burn the meat offering rather than eat that portion which was theirs. Moses then later discovers what they had done and chides them for it. But Aaron justifies this action because of the sorrow they had. I can't explain it, but it's all I have. Because of the sorrow they had for the deaths of their brethren. At least this much, I'm sure of. And that is that where Nadab and Abihu acted presumptuously and died, Aaron would not act presumptuously and lived. He would not do with that in doubt. So he had the offering, the sin offering, treated as one that was brought into the blood of that offering brought into the tabernacle. So they would carry the remains of that offering, the carcass, the skin and all, outside to the clean place outside the camp and burn it there. And so now the Lord imposes on Israel his dietary law. It's his dietary law being imposed on his people. This law requires of Israel that they eat meats that are of clean animals and forbids eating meats that are of unclean animals. So what about this? In verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, now there are different categories of these animals that we're going to go through. I don't necessarily, you'll just see them as we go through. There'll be these beasts, probably the larger beasts on the land, and then there'll be smaller ones, there'll be fowls, birds, and then insects under consideration. So all of these are considered creeping things as we move through here. He spake to Moses and Aaron, the Lord did, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that ye shall eat. A cloven hoof is a cleft hoof, divided hoof, or a split hoof. It's a hoof that's split into two toes. So they could, for example, eat a giraffe because it chews the cud, and as we'll see, and splits the hoof. Interesting when you think about it. So they could eat other large animals, buffalo, sheep, goat, deer, gazelle, antelope, mountain sheep, moose, caribou, elk, those kinds of animals, okay? Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud. To make sure that you understand what I'm commanding you, or of them that divide the hoof, for example, as the camel, because he chews the cud, but divides not the hoof, he is unclean to you Israelites. These are unclean to Israel. Now, it's a declaration of the Lord to Israel about these animals. It's not that they are unclean in themselves. Well, Romans 14:14, the Apostle Paul says so, and it's related to food. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. It's pretty straightforward. But to him, to one who cannot apprehend this, to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean, and so he needs to keep away from it. But the fact of the matter is, nothing is unclean of itself, and it'd be best if we could get our minds around that. Now, there is nothing wrong, for example, there's nothing wrong with an animal that doesn't split the hoof or chew the cud. God declared everything that he has made in the day of his creative acts as good. There's nothing wrong with the wonderful works of God and their original created diversity. But here the Lord declares that these traits, not being in combination in certain animals, were to them unclean. It's that simple. Unless the Word of God, and I want you to consider this, unless the Word of God reveals any more than this, there's no other reason than that it pleased the Lord to declare these unclean for national Israel to eat. I don't care what anybody else says. Now, we can go to the animals and we can compare them, and we can say, well, these are predatory, and these are scavenger, and these are so on the earth, and these are so in the water. But that doesn't make any difference. It's that the Lord made that declaration. And I'll just move forward here a little bit more. Verse 5. And the coney, as we consider the unclean animals to Israel, the coney, because he chews the cud, but divides not the hoof, he is unclean to you. Now, I've read every commentary I have, everything I could find about these kinds of things, and good luck to you if you can figure it out what these animals are for the most part. And that's going to be really helpful for us in just a few minutes. If you think that you ought to watch out and not eat these things, you might be, and you don't even know it. That's how this is really important. It says here, choose a cud, and I read some that says, now they think it's a rabbit. Well, it's going to mention a hare too. So they think it's some kind of a mountain a rabbit or something. And they say, but they don't chew the cud. I don't know. My Bible says they chew the cud. So whatever this animal is, they chew the cud. Okay, I got to leave it like that. We can, if we're not careful, we let what people say, and they have no biblical basis at all, to guide us in our thinking. Stay, as by the grace of God, this is the way it's going to work. Stay with the Scriptures. I'm so prone, I'm telling you, I was doing it today. Some of the things I'm saying that I shouldn't be doing, because it's a matter of thinking in the mind, and it takes some, you know, what we really need to train ourselves to keep to the Word of God. So this thing, it says, because, why? The coney, it's unclean to you because he chews the cud but divides not the hoof. He is unclean to you. And the hare, because he chews the cud, but divides not the hoof. He is unclean to you. Whatever all that means, there it is. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, two-toed, yet he choose not to cut. He's unclean to you. Israel would not eat a donkey or horse because they're not cloven-footed. They're single-toed. That's what you call these. They're single-toed, one single toe. The hoof is not divided. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass. Notice this word, carcass, because that means the dead body. It does not mean a living thing. So he is really clear about this. It's they're unclean in their carcass when they're dead. Now, you don't want to be touching them after that. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass, their dead body, that's explained in verse 31, shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. In verse 31, it says, these are unclean to you among all that creep. Whosoever doth touch them when they are dead, defining what carcass means, shall be unclean until the even. It's defined for us. And you're made unclean. The Israelite is made unclean for touching it. So what am I to gather from that? While they're living, they're not unclean. It's not wrong for an Israelite to have a horse. It's not wrong for an Israelite to have a giraffe. I think Solomon had a lot of animals that were living, and it was not wrong. It wasn't unclean for him to have those and to handle them. And you see, it leads you to, I remember when we were studying in the book of Luke about the Gadarenes. Remember that? And the swine shepherd, herds? How somebody says, how come they had that swine that aren't clean? No, they were living animals. There was nothing wrong with that. The problem was when they died, disposing of them would be an uncleanness to touch these things. But they evidently had uses for swine, various uses. I can imagine one very good use for swine. Insect repellent, probably. I'm just kidding. No, I don't know if the odor makes the bugs go away or not, but if it doesn't, it ought to. It sure makes me go away. It's a human repellent. Yeah. But so much fat, I can imagine the oil that they might derive from fat and those kinds of things, if they had somebody do that for them, probably hired a bunch of Gentiles to come in there and take care of these things for them. But it was okay for the Israelites to, obviously, to tend to teams of horses and herds of swine, and certainly lots of camels. Abraham had them and others as well, donkeys and all sorts of animals, without incurring any kind of defilement and not violating the law of God. So in verse 9, we move to another creature. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters. Very simple. Whatsoever has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. Very clear. No mistake. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, notice living, they shall be an abomination to you, detested. They shall be an abomination to you. Ye shall not eat their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses when they've died in abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins, nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination to you. So, no mistake about it. The Israelite was forbidden to eat sea creatures that had no scales and fins. So they wouldn't eat some of our favorite things. Crab, shrimp, prawns. You getting hungry? Yeah, halibut, flounder, porpoise, shark, whale, eel, crawfish. Catfish. Ray, squid, octopus, clam, oyster, etc. They did. Why? Why? Because he said so. That's the only reason we have. And we'll see that in just a moment. There's another reason here. First of all, he said so. If we don't know anything else, that's enough. But there's a little bit more right at the end. Concerning the fowls. In verse 13, these are they which shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. And to prove what all these are, I can't do. It's all up in the air. But they do in that day what these creatures referred to. The eagle, that seems clear enough. And the ossifrage, and the osprey, and the vulture, and the kite after his kind. Every raven after his kind. It probably means like the blue jays and the gray jays and all that kind of family. I don't know, but the ravens after his kind, the owl, the night hawk, the cuckoo, the hawk after his kind, it is cuckoo, and the little owl, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the gear eagle, and the stork, the heron after her kind, the lapwing, and the bat. Well, thank the Lord there's the bat in there, because I wouldn't eat it. There's some here that's like, you know. All fowls, flying insects, all fowls that creep, going upon all fours, shall be an abomination to you. You may eat, yet these may ye eat of every flying, creeping thing. So he explains there is an exception that goes upon all four, which have legs above their feet, the purpose for which is to leap withal upon the earth. Even these of them ye may eat. The locust after his kind, and the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, which, for all practical intents and purposes, it's not the beetle that we think of. It's a kind of locust. It's all of this is related. And finally, the grasshopper after his kind. I wish I'd have just shared this. I just have to remember, but I personally have never eaten one of these. I don't really have a desire to eat it, but the taste I read is just about like having shrimp. You put it in butter, garlic that thing up, and you take the head off, take the wings off, and eat it. John the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey, and I think we might be missing out on something. Interesting. Not that I'm going to go out looking for them, but I suppose if my brother, I sit down to dinner and he's got a plate of them for supper, I'll have to try a few. Have me some of that buffalo dip maybe nearby and crunch away. It was food. It was food. And I do believe we'd eat it if we really needed it. The ones we have up here are so small, it'd be a while eating those things. But there you go. That's all they may eat along this line. No, not eating flies and bees and hornets and other kinds of bugs. And so, again, it's very simple. For these, and for these ye shall... And for these ye shall be unclean. Whosoever touches the carcass of them being dead shall be unclean until evening. And whosoever beareth aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until even. The carcasses of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven-footed, nor chews the cud, are unclean to you. Everyone that touches them, that meaning, obviously, of the corpse, the carcass, shall be unclean. And whatsoever goeth upon his paws, all among all manner of beasts, which must maybe the smaller land animals, these paws among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean to you. Whoso touches their carcass shall be unclean until the even. So obviously cats and dogs and leopards and porcupines and lynx and cougars and all of that. Perhaps you would include the monkey, the ape, those also. They're unclean, obviously, and probably fall right into this category. And he that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. They are unclean to you. So it's reiterated. And for creeping things upon the earth, these also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse and the tortoise after his kind, and the ferret and the chameleon and the lizard and the snail and the mole. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whosoever doth touch them when they be dead shall be unclean until the even. And upon whatsoever any of them, when they are dead, doth fall, it shall be unclean, whether it be any vessel of wood or raiment or skin or sack, whatsoever vessel it be, wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until the even. So shall it be cleansed. You're going to wash that out with water and not use it until after the even is passed. And every earthen vessel whereunto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it, obviously, shall be unclean, and ye shall break it. It sounds like you get rid of the stuff and you break the vessel. All of them, of all meat which may be eaten, that on which such water cometh shall be unclean. And all drink that may be drunk in every such vessel shall be unclean. And everything whereupon any part of the carcass falleth shall be unclean, whether it be oven or ranges for pots. They shall be broken down, and that means destroyed. For they are unclean and shall be unclean to you. Nevertheless, a fountain or pit wherein there is plenty of water, there continues to be a fresh supply of water in this thing, shall be clean. But that which toucheth their carcass shall be unclean. And if any part of their carcass shall fall upon any sowing seed, which is to be sown, it shall be clean. The purpose of the seed is to be sown. But if any water be put on the seed, and any part of their carcass fall thereon, it shall be unclean to you. Sounds like that maybe the seed is not for sowing, but for consumption, and something had died and come upon this concoction. So it's unclean. You would not save it. You'd get rid of it. And if any beast of which ye may eat die, meaning it dies of itself, he that touches the carcass thereof shall be unclean until the even. And he that eateth, and I don't understand this here, and he that eateth of the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. He also that beareth the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. For whatever reason, if they've eaten of this animal that had died of itself, and they could have eaten it otherwise, but they have eaten it, maybe they just aren't aware of the fact that it died of itself. Maybe somebody gave it to them. It does seem to show that there are instances where that can happen, that they're allowed to do that. But it sounds like once they discover that, then they would They would be unclean until evening to wash their clothes here, the ones that dispose of the carcass and such. In verse 41, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, and whatsoever goeth upon all four, or whatsoever hath more feet, among all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them ye shall not eat, for they are an abomination. Worms, the centipede, spiders, and all those kinds of things kind of fall, I think, into this category. He says, ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled by it. The commandment is for them to be holy. It's not for anyone else. It's just for them. The people of God are to be holy. They're subject to becoming defiled because they have been declared holy by the Lord by disregarding these commandments. In verse 44, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Be holy. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. They are, and they are to remain that way. That's the whole idea. With a what we call in other term, practical sanctification. We're holy, but we are to live holy. And this was the purpose here, to prove them. Now, here's the reason. The other reason, first, he declared it. That would have been enough. But here's why the Lord imposed this dietary law upon the nation of Israel. This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl and of every living creature that moves in the waters and of every creature that creeps on the earth to make a difference between the unclean and the clean and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord has chosen thee to what? Be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. That's why he gave them this and all of these laws, as a matter of fact, to separate them from others, from the rest of the nations. It's brought out in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. Emphasizing this point, ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land, whether I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out, and ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things that were named earlier, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said to you, ye shall inherit the land, and I will give it to you to possess it, a land that flows with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Ye shall therefore put a difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. Ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. And that's why he imposed this upon them. The regulation, again, was given only to national Israel. It was never given to any other people on the earth. It's a serious consideration. The law, this law, and the rest of it was imposed upon Israel to divide them from all the other nations in the earth. No such prohibition existed like this prior to this pronouncement. Now, I'm saying that because there are those that disagree. Prior to this time, there were no distinctions made in the eating of the flesh of animals, perhaps other than what is communicated among men as being, that's tasty and that's not. You're probably not going to like that. But that wasn't from the Lord. There wasn't any such thing. There was no rule from the Lord on this matter. But there are those who will exploit our ignorance, and I think we're a little light on this as far as understanding what it's about, who it's for, the reason it was given, who will exploit the ignorance of the people of God on this topic concerning clean and unclean meats to their advantage. And these are what I call, again, the Judaizers. There are Baptist Judaizers. And they appear to be on the increase, by the way. Baptist preachers, Baptist members are a part of and think that they ought to be only eating clean meats. And it's a sad thing because it creates confusion among the churches and in the membership of the churches itself. Those who suppose that the Christians should keep the dietary law, as here described, have run into a very serious problem. There's no way to discover what some of these creatures are that are named in this chapter. What the coney is. You're going to get opinions, and that's all you're going to get. And among the fowls of the air, what an osprey is, and a cuckoo, and a stork, and a lapwing. That's what you're going to find out when you start looking at it. Or what this flying creature is called that they were allowed to eat, or called a beetle. It's not the beetle that we're commonly thinking of. This man says it, and he's right. What creatures are intended by these is not now easy to know. Very different are the sentiments, both of the Jews and Christians today, concerning them. There is nothing but speculation about what exactly these refer to. And what am I leading to? If the issue concerning the law is as vital as some say it is, we have to know what these animals are. We got to know it. And that's your problem. They don't know it. But they'll have you come to this law-abiding issue and keep some of it. But you can't. You can't even know it. Leave it alone. It's not possible. We just simply do not have enough information. And quite frankly, in the wisdom of God, those specifics are lost, and we don't need to know. It prevents us from doing these kinds of things if we really gave it any thought. But Christians, are falling for it more and more. We have the law of Christ. Not only will the faith of Christ fulfill the law of God so that we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors and ourselves, not only will the faith of Christ keep us from covetousness, murder, and blasphemy, and profanity, adultery, and stealing, and lying, but it goes far beyond that. So that we keep the commandments of Christ, which is something that these folks just seem to despise. Commandments of Christ. We will be baptized. We'll join with his church. We'll edify one another. We'll proclaim the doctrines of Christ. And we have every other commandment that our Lord has delivered to us, we'll keep. That's what faith does in us. This seemingly little issue regarding the dietary law is used by these to lead the saints of God back into practicing the issues of the law, away from the operation of grace under the new covenant, back to what? Saving ourselves. That's the bottom line. And these folks will get you there. And the next thing you'll see, you're gonna think you can't keep your salvation unless you do something. And they take away the great doctrine of eternal security. Oh, it's just kind of, they do not believe in this kind of thing. They scoff at that doctrine, besides a lot of other ones. They say that the people of God in the Old Testament, previous to the giving of the law of Moses, were always eating only clean meats. That's what is supposed. And what they'll do, I've recently had the experience, they're going to take you away from the Bible if you let them. They're going to take you away from the Bible and they're going to say, you need to learn Hebrew. You need to learn the traditional writings of the Jewish people. You just don't know your Torah like you need to know it. If you knew it like you ought, see, it's condescending, they're full of pride, and they will not lead you to the right standing of the Word of God. They're taking you away by these methods. Well, so I want you to consider, did humanity, before the giving of this rule in Leviticus chapter 11, know to only eat clean meats? No, they didn't. Those of Adam's day, how do I say that? I have the Word of God that shows me that. Those of Adam's day ate no meat at all. Okay, that's not an opinion. They're going to say, no, that's not so. And there's other arguments there. We'll just touch on some of it. They didn't eat meat at all. They were what, back then, they were what we would call today vegans. Now, I'm not supporting the vegan movement, because the environment and the circumstances back in Adam's day is not the same as it is today. The environment has changed. Things are different. Vegans have to supplement their diet. So I'm not saying, I'm not agreeing with the vegan movement, but they were so back then. We can explain that. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. For what reason? To you it shall be for meat, food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. There was no such thing as eating meat in Adam's day, all the way up until after the flood. There was no such thing. But they'll argue with you about it. They're going to take you away from the scriptures. All you got to do is stay with the Bible. You'll be all right. You might feel like you're inferior. That's okay, but you'll be right. Don't fall for it. Yeah. Amen. They just make you feel like a little guy here. That's all right. Right? There should be no doubt about what food men and beasts ate prior to the flood. Now, some will say, but lions, they have meat-eating teeth and la, 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 right? They're going to say, they weren't equipped for eating. I don't care. It's what the Bible says. I don't disagree at all. Yes, they had those things. But what? They ate green. They didn't eat meat. The Bible says so. And guess what? The Bible deniers, guess what? They're going to go back to doing that again in a millennium. What? Yes, they are. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 7. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. All of that stops. I believe the Bible. It's the easiest thing to do. It's the right thing to do. So the assertion that men and animals ate meat in the beginning of the creation of all things is wrong. Did these men know about clean and unclean animals? Yes. Yes, see, I don't mean to hook you in like that, but they, I know. You know, the next time that comes up, I'll go, I'm not saying anything, I'm going to wait. Did they know about clean and unclean? Yes, they did. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, the Lord said to Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, male and female. Of fowls also the air by sevens, the male and female, to keep seed alive." So they knew it. Why? Well, it was important in the sacrifices. You know, it's one thing to offer sacrifices to the Lord, clean animals. Evidently, the Lord had commanded such. That's all you see. But it's a whole other step to go from offering sacrifices, bloody sacrifices to the Lord, to thinking that we would eat that. That's way different. Now, we might not think so at this moment because that's all we've ever done. But animals didn't come along and eat each other. They didn't have that rationale. They didn't work this out. They weren't doing that. And people, I got to tell you, if you were in that day, it was enough just to sacrifice the animal. I can't imagine them thinking, "I think I'll take a bite of this." It was just totally out of the nature of things. It wasn't something you did. It just, but they knew about these clean and unclean animals for the purposes of sacrificing. Obviously, Abel offered his from the what? The flock. It was a clean animal. When did meat eating begin? Genesis chapter 9. Verse 1. Right after the flood, it says here, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air." This had not been there before. You wonder why you can't reach over and touch a bird. There it is. Why? Because they fear you and me. It's all in there. "Upon all that moves upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand they're delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be" now what? "Food, meat for you, even as the green herb." So it's clear what it means. Animal predation started right there. And you'll see records of that taking place even later through the book of Genesis. So by the word of God, meat eating began immediately after the flood. But were they restricted to eating only clean animals? Meat from clean animals. There's not a single word about that until now. And what's the oath? You can only say that they didn't know any different. They all ate anything that was good for food. If that was meat, they ate it. And it really comes through. We come full circle again from where they were immediately after flood and no distinction in the meats to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. "Every creature of God is good." Means for food. "And nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." And we've already read Romans 14:14, "But nothing is unclean of itself." Now what was the purpose for giving this to Israel? It was to make a division between Israel and all of the other nations. Shall put a difference between them. And what happened when Christ died? He took away what is called the partition, the wall that divided, which is referring to these things in Leviticus here and in Exodus. He's removed the wall by his death, that stigma that was between the Gentile and the Jew in Ephesians 2:11. In Ephesians 2, verse 11, Paul says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." In other words, the Jews called the Gentiles uncircumcision and vice versa, "that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off," that's us Gentiles, "are made near," we're brought near by to God by the blood of Christ. For he, Christ, is our peace. He is our reconciliation, who has made both Jew and Gentile one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. It's interesting that the issue of meats comes up, and we're warned against it in the latter day. Now, I don't believe brethren have this in mind, but we're certainly warned against these that use this against the people of God. The Spirit speaks expressly in 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So what do I say in the conclusion of this? There was nothing wrong with the folks that ate every meat that was good for food in that day. Before the giving of this, it was all right until this moment. It was only wrong for Israel after this is given. And today, there is no dietary law for the members of the Lord's churches, whether they're Jew or Gentile. It's not there. It's not an issue. Only national Israel received this rule. In Christ, it's passed away, and the division between Jew and Gentile is removed. We are what the scriptures that we're going to read now. We are one new man. That means a new humanity where there is no more Gentile and Jew. We are Christians. Having abolished in his flesh, Ephesians 2:15, I think we're just kind of picking up where I left off just a moment ago in Ephesians. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, he's referring to these kinds of things right here, for to make in himself of twain, two, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, us Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, the Jew. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That's why this was given. It keeps Israel as the people of God throughout history. As they rebel against the Lord, he judges them, but they're his, and he keeps judging them, and he keeps judging them all the way through. And then when Christ comes, he dies, and he brings us together at this time, and we'll still deal with Israel in the time to come. At this time, there is no issue concerning the eating of meats for Jew and Gentile. We be all Christians. Amen.